You're listening to Gone Mobile, your input and output for all things .NET MAUI and mobile.
Welcome back to another Gone Mobile. Alan, if you hear screaming children in the background, you know what time of year it is, right?
Spring.
Yeah.
And you got a new puppy, so like...
And we got a new puppy. The puppy is pretty quiet. It's the kids that are still the loud things. So don't blame the puppy, blame the kids.
It's believable. Definitely believable.
Yeah.
Kids are crazy.
What are we talking about today?
Today, I thought we were going to talk about something I've been working with lately, and I haven't done this other than toying with it, but today we're going to be talking about Blazor Hybrid specifically.
Oh, Blazor Hybrid.
Blazor Hybrid specifically.
Specifically hybrid. Okay. So what's Blazor? Maybe we should start with just the quick, like, when we're talking about
Blazor.
Oh,
you want me to explain it, do you? All right.
Yeah, well, you've been
talking about it. It's basically modern-day Razor in a browser. You can run it rendered by your server still. What do they call that? I don't remember the modes that they have for it. Or you can run it in WebAssembly, which is really where I care about it. I don't care about Blazor for any other reason other than I can run it in WebAssembly or in a MAUI app natively.
Well, and there's the rendering modes. Didn't they add a new thing? Like there's servers or like client side with the server connection. And also like server pre-rendering out the HTML.
Yeah, it's like a static static rendering, I believe, which is interesting. I guess it's to compete with the things like Docosaurus, and there's another great one out there called Astro, which I use, but maybe that's what they're going for. I'm not sure.
I really like using the CPU cycles of my customers rather than me incurring them on the server. So I always tend to go that route instead, right?
That's thick clients, man. Thick clients are better. That's my 2 cents on it.
So when we talk about then Blazor in a hybrid setting, you know, what's your experience so far there?
Well, I've done a little bit of Blazor, but mostly toying, right? It's really, I don't feel it's a safe sell for WebAssembly yet. There's a couple little performance things. I mean, Microsoft's been doing a good job improving it. The tooling's getting better, but you know,
is it performance stuff or is it like compatibility? Like I know for a while in early days, not all the browsers like really seemed to support it. And I think Apple was kind of behind on it for their mobile browsers.
There's that. And Apple was trying to very recently actually trying to kill like the apps within, you know how you can install a website as an app,
right?
They've been trying to kill that for some time. So I've been doing a little bit with the Blazor stuff. Again, performance wasn't there, but you know, I think the hard sell to clients right now is, I love MAUI. You know, I love you guys, but Microsoft doesn't have a good track record with UI frameworks right now. And that makes it a bit of a tough sell to customers, which I kind of understand. Now, the one thing I will say about Razor, though, is that pretty much all of us have done Razor. I mean, those that have gray hairs on our face, if you've been in .NET long enough, you have either worked with web forms or you have worked with Razor in some capacity, whether it's email templates or MVC or whatever. You've probably touched it. Razor's not bad. And it's actually evolved quite a bit. I'd say it's up there competitively with the likes of like language syntax wise, with like React, if you've done React. So it's a nice syntax.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. I really actually like the mixing stuff in. Kind of a side tangent on that topic. Have you tried the? It was an experiment by Elon and internally here a while back, like the mobile Blazor bindings for Xamarin at first, and then it got kind of ported to MAUI. And then there's been, I think it's Dream Escaper is the handle of the person, has kind of taken it under their wing and drastically improved it and stuff. And it's basically allowing you to write Razor syntax, which is the Razor kind of controls are wrapped around the MAUI controls. I really like the syntax for writing code that way. And I really like it for like not writing type converters and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. Like you can just kind of do more inline.
Which is probably handy. I toyed with it. Honestly, if I'm going to do Razor, I'm going to probably just do it in the Blazor side. And if I'm going to do XAML, I'm going to do MVVM all the way. Right. So it just, I don't know. Seemed a little bit third party-ish until you guys get involved and say, yeah, this is the path to go.
Yeah, it's hard to commit on something like that, right? Until you know it's like gonna have backing. Because when you do run into problems and stuff, it can be a challenge otherwise. But
exactly.
I mean, yeah, who knows? It's a really cool idea. I know we've talked about it internally a bunch too, just as like a hey, like is this a direction that we could potentially go in the future? No immediate plans or anything like that, but you know, all possibilities are on the table in the future. You never know.
Well, and that's kind of to go off on a side rant of my own here. That's kind of one of the big actual sells for Maui overall is that there's, you know, you can go several directions with it. So if you're having a particular problem, I think I've talked about the one issue I was having with grouping and like a responsive grid layout, like with responsive columns, the whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. Like it's a complicated thing to do in XAML, let alone Maui. So Maui doesn't do it. Xamarin Forms doesn't do it. It's a control I would have had to have written myself, but I was like, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to do it in Blazor. It's so much easier. It's just the web does that stuff, right?
Yeah. So when we talk about like hybrid stuff, like that's, I think, a good way to explain it or describe it, right? Is you've got a Maui app, but you can ultimately stick a Blazor. I mean, the control is literally a Blazor web view, right? And that can host whatever Blazor content you want in it, essentially.
Any CSS, JavaScript, it's a web view. Through and through, it's a web view at the end of the day. The Blazor stuff does render quite nice on it, obviously. But really, you have all the power of web rendering there. Mm-hmm. And it gets you through those scenarios because web's been at it for a really long time. And, you know, this is more of a web scenario, in my opinion, anyways. Like, it was kind of like an image. Disagree. One of those Pinterest, looked kind of like Pinterest is what I was having to do. And it was like, there's not really controls that exist on any platform for that. So you either got to write your own or do the web. The web's been doing it forever. So it just turned out to be easier. And from a business perspective, that's kind of a great thing because, you know, if you do have those cases where it's hard to do in mobile or, you know, I know there's some naysayers that are like, Maui, there's a bug. You know what? There's escape plans if you need them. You can go this web view route. You can still stay in the Microsoft ecosystem. You still get dependency injection, right? It's all built in. It's a great side path to take when you need to, for certain views. So in the app I'm working on, the thing that's nice is that I do bounce out in and out of the Blazor components or Blazor pages. So I still have like a native tab view. I still have a lot of native pages because I have to for other reasons. But I go into these Blazor hybrid views, for some of the complicated scenarios. And
is this like, I'm interested because this is a way of using Blazor hybrid that I've really been excited about. Not that I've actually done myself yet, really. I've very simply played around with it in my own app. But like, I'd love to hear a little bit more too about how you're kind of leveraging that, integrating the best of both worlds, I guess. Like one thought I always had was I could do an app. I could kind of make the whole, you know, tabs, kind of the shell, I guess, the Chrome of it, you know, native. And then I could start to mix in Blazor content for maybe I have a settings page that is just, you know, a pain and it's already done, you know, either already done or I want to use Blazor for it. Like, is that kind of the level you're using it?
I am not doing this for reuse. I am doing this strictly for, well, a couple reasons. One is I'm not a great designer, right? I'm not a great designer. Some of these, I just got to mad bash some forms. Like there is just a ton of forms in the app I'm working on and I need them kind of pretty out of the box, so to speak, without having to do a style. And there's great control libraries out there. This is something I wish Maui kind of had more of. Actually, mobile in general, native mobile in general, had just like out of the box, like a what's that Google rendering material, right? Like just out of the box. Yeah. I know there's other platforms like Uno that have it and stuff. So I looked to a third party that had it just for Blazor. And then I can kind of mad bash this stuff in and it looks pretty without me having to get involved, right? Because it just, it needs that material look. And I need to be able to do a lot of forms really quickly. And this just seemed to be a faster route. And it really is. It really is so far. It's producing great forms with this control library, which I'll mention at the end.
How do you feel like that? What's the app, you know, experience, I guess? Like, does it feel pretty snappy? Does it feel, you know, I know it's not native, but does it kind of like, you know, early days of web apps, right?
They were slow. They've always been in Apple. I remember, you know, back when you and I kind of first started at this, they were notoriously, there was that rumor, and I don't know, maybe it was a rumor, maybe it wasn't. It certainly seemed true, was that Apple used to throttle the web views like 10% slower. Do you remember that rumor?
Yeah.
It actually did look true, because I remember, you know, I'd run it in Safari, and because we had mobile web apps back in, I want to say 2011, 2012, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they were slow in the app, because we were just trying to, you know, everybody did that shell. Here's a web view, stick your entire app in web content and hope Apple accepts it.
Yeah,
but it was slower, right? And you go in and run it in regular browser, and it was fine. And it was like, okay, what's the hang up here? What's going on here? Right. Yeah. So, but you know, fast forward to nowadays where our phones are like, I don't know, you got one of those titanium ones. Mine's a few years old. I'm waiting. Apple's going to bring me my flip phone this year, so I'm waiting.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Come on, I'm hoping. Don't.
No, they're sticking the phone on your face instead. Didn't you get the memo?
Yeah, I know, the Vision. I'll wait for version 2 of that, but I'm waiting for my tablet and phone. Anyhow, you do have one of those titanium, the new 15s, right?
I have a 15 Pro. Yeah.
I mean, they advertise that as being able to play games, like real, like AAA games, right? I don't know if you've tried a AAA game on there.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, you get bored of games too quickly.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the fact that they're advertising that, like the process is just so fast now, I don't personally notice a difference. Now, I'm not nitpicky about that stuff either, right? I know you're big on the term buttery smooth. You have to be, but the customers that I work with, it's function over fashion as opposed to fashion over function. Yeah. I guess it depends, but most of them.
I guess like the question is more like, yeah, for the use case that you're working at it, you know, is it reasonably good, right? Like, and if that's the case, like, yeah, everybody's spectrum of what that means for their scenario is going to vary a bit, but I suspect that most people are going to use it and the app's going to be fine, right?
I don't notice a difference personally. So I, you know, take my opinion with a grain of salt, but
yeah,
it doesn't have one jitters. It's just a form.
But you're like, you're loading the app and like the first screen is the Blazor web view already. Is that the case?
So the login screen is there, et cetera, but it goes into, the main where Blazor really starts to kick in so I have a native tab view because I still need native components. So tabs are still native, but the most of the content within those tabs right now is Blazor, right? So it's the Blazor hybrid.
How does that load up for you? Like what's the experience look like?
I guess sometimes when I flip tabs, if the tab hasn't loaded yet, sometimes there's a bit of it's always on Android and it's usually debugging. Again, it's important to know because debugging is slow. So if you're seeing slowness in the debugger, don't be surprised because you turn off debugging, you don't see it, right?
Yeah.
So I noticed mean, for when
many reasons, yeah.
Well, the amount of logging that comes through, especially on Android.
Right? Logging and even like, I mean, another tangent here, but like, I don't know if people generally know, and we've been trying to inform users more and more, but the default for MAUI apps when you're in debug mode is generally going to be interpreted code as opposed to ahead of time compiled. Now Android, like that might be more the case. Well, that's not even really the case. Interpreted mode is still a bit different. So yeah, Debug mode's going to be slow.
It's slower. You either have a longer build time, so you turn off XAML-C, which I do, or I turn on XAML-C for debug sometimes, because I don't know why. I just do. Sometimes I don't want to deal with like the logging and the interpretation. I'm going through the app, whatever. Yeah. Anyhow, if you are an Android and you're switching to a tab that hasn't loaded yet, sometimes there's a bit of a blink, right? You see that. Again, it's always Android. It's never iOS. iOS just loads up instantly and looks beautiful. Android does that.
Do you do anything to like preload those tabs? Like, so here's why I'm digging at this a bit.
All right.
One of my thoughts, like, I get that you're not using it exactly this way, but like one of my thoughts again was to kind of put, you know, maybe some of my pages are sharing, you know, the Blazor content, the Blazor component. And when I navigate to those pages, my experience so far has been like, yeah, and granted, I didn't try it, I think, in release mode. So maybe this is more of a non-issue. But some of my experience was there's like the start, the load time, right? So it's like one of the things I was going to start looking at some point was, could I reasonably, you know, get my MAUI Blazor web view to preload the content of a page, you know, in advance, like knowing somebody's going to click that settings button. I already want it to be alive and be able to, you know, go up and show up seamlessly, right? Like the pop up animation of the page would already have the web view loaded kind of thing.
Potentially. Like I said, I'm not doing anything hardcore in it. There is going to be probably a couple lists and stuff, but most of them are just kind of single pages. I throw a loader up there. Actually, there is one page where I throw a loader up because I'm loading some of the dropdowns. But that comes up pretty darn quick. And the loader's right in the Blazor page. So it doesn't, I guess the loader, you could say, doesn't look quite native.
Yeah.
But who cares? Yeah. I mean, again, the app, I don't personally care that my apps look native. I just care that they load kind of fast and they do what they're supposed to do and they look pretty.
And to be fair, I think there's a big movement over the last years, and a slow movement, that people generally, like, what does look native even mean anymore, right? There's so many different apps that have, like, you know, if you look at a Flutter app, it doesn't necessarily look native, but you don't really think of it like that because it's an app, and so many of your apps, you know, look how they look kind of thing.
You almost have to force Flutter to look native now anyways. You have to say this is the theme to use, and
right.
I mean, I personally don't care. My reason for using a tapped page natively is only because of the technology. It has nothing to do with looking native, so to speak.
Yeah.
But Android, I'm forcing the tabs to the bottom, so I guess it's more a case of getting the mobile, you know, not so much the native experience, but the mobile navigation patterns that we're used to. I don't care if it looks like iOS or Android tabs. I could care less.
It's almost just more convenient to do it in, you know, the kind of breaking those components up into actual, like, you know, MAUI pages, which view in the tab page.
Exactly.
Which is native, right? So like it's just kind of a byproduct of that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you're using, you know, Blazor web views. Like, are you tying any other things into your app that's not Blazor? Like, are you doing native, you know, API usage in other places? And like, what does that look like?
Yeah, lots of connectivity. I always have connectivity. That's like, I don't know, probably the most used service I have anywhere anyways, because I'm constantly checking, are you in? Maybe displaying you need to be online for this mode. Like, it's constant. I use that view or that kind of pattern everywhere. So that one's always in. It's pretty much injected everywhere.
I was gonna say, so like, do you inject the, like, the MAUI, you know, interfaces and therefore services right into your Razor pages then?
Okay. Yep, most of the time. There's a few services right now, just because I like to kind of build it outside, and again, I'm not doing this for reuse, but I like to build those pages a little bit outside and then kind of bring them over and start bringing in some of the native functionality. So I kind of polyfill a couple of those services when I'm testing on the other side. Now, that can't be said that, why do I not just test in MAUI? because I need to use Windows to do that. Really, Windows is where it's effective, because I can press F12, right? That's what brings up the testing or the web view window.
There is a way to do that. It's more work though, right? Like, you can do that on Android, you can do that on iOS. It isn't as seamless, obviously.
Yeah, I haven't gotten there yet. And everybody I've talked to said, yeah, why don't you just spin up Windows? Well, you know what? I don't get along with Windows personally. It's not one of my favorite platforms, and a lot of the stuff that I write doesn't actually support Windows anyways. So I'm like, well, I kind of need to be over here. So I've been just kind of polyfilling, but I have a feeling at some point I'm just going to have to add Windows something.
So do you have like then all of your Blazor stuff like in a different project that's like, yep, not, you know, okay. So you're keeping that separate from MAUI, and then you've got a normal like web front end project that is referencing that stuff
more or less, yeah,
sharing it that way, kind of. Okay.
I'm probably just going to merge it back into a single project at some point. I don't need the separation. It doesn't get me any unit testing, none of that stuff. It's just, it was easier to dev this way, and probably because I'm still kind of learning it. So keeping it out of proc or out of MAUI to build it temporarily is a little bit helpful. But
I mean, that it's an interesting idea, even just for like the dev loop of it, right? Like, obviously mobile apps and MAUI, like this is something that we talk about a ton, is what does that inner dev loop look like whenever you involve, you know, an emulator or a simulator or a device that you're trying to deploy to as part of your debug workflow. It's going to be slower,
right?
It's just there's no, we can do a lot of work and make it better, but it's never going to be the same as like deploying to a browser that's just running on the same machine that you're devving on. So I kind of really like the idea of, okay, you know, Essentials has all of the interfaces and stuff finally now, right, in MAUI, where you can sub out your own implementations for doing that dev loop experience just like you're doing. You know, maybe that's a really nice way to actually set up the whole experience out of the box.
So far, it's not bad. Like I build it in the WebAssembly project, so it's, you know... Mm-hmm. It just, I have some WebAssembly components. Shiny's going to be on WebAssembly at some point in the near future, right? So I have a bunch of those things over that just kind of work, and they seamlessly go into the hybrid app right now. That's what's working for me. Hopefully it continues to work that way. I don't want to have to open a debug window in Windows if I can avoid it. Plus, I'm on a Mac. To be fair, I am on a Mac. I could go over to the ARM64, but... You know, it just opens up a whole can of worms. I just don't want to run in Windows. I don't want to run in WinUI. I know some people hate that. I don't want to be there. I'm happy in my little bubble. But if there are better debugging experiences, why don't you share? Do you know any better ways to go about doing it than I am? Or is it just kind of interesting to hear that I'm doing something weird?
No, yeah. Like, I think it, again, it's just back to like, if I was going to try and do this... So let me back up a step. I think I've talked a little bit or a bunch of bit about Pool Math and my adventures with Blazor there. So from my perspective, you know, I liked the idea of Blazor Hybrid as a means for reuse. Again, I know that's not what you're going for here. But even just thinking of it from a dev, you know, productivity perspective, because I'm already now trying to get my thing on the web using WebAssembly, I'm rewriting a bunch of the UI, or I have rewritten a bunch of the UI in Blazor, you know, to use it there, right? So I've effectively taken the whole app, and it now works in Blazor in the browser as well with WebAssembly. I did all of the work of separating out my, you know, view model logic so that it has nothing to do with MAUI. You know, I've service-ized all of my stuff that used like the Essentials APIs and anything that, you know, I've got all my different platform type services, like, you know, get me the cache path for the app that's running, right? Like something as trivial as that is like, well, you put it behind a service, and for the MAUI platforms, you know, that's fine. I can use Essentials, but then for WebAssembly, I want to use a different thing. So I've done all that work, and I've separated that all out. And now it's, you know, as you go through that and do that, it kind of occurs to you that, okay, if I'm rewriting some of these UIs again, And maybe especially for the areas of the app that aren't like the heaviest trafficked areas, maybe it makes sense to pull in Blazor and not maintain two different things. Like as long as, you know, I'm still keeping my feet in both worlds of web and mobile app, right? I mean, I could go the other direction and just be like, screw it, I'm going Blazor for everything. And, you know, my mobile app is like almost 100% Blazor too. Like I could do that as well, but I don't know if I want to yet.
Well, here's the thing too. The reason I'm not going for reuse is because in my world, there's web, there's iOS, there's Android, right? Everything else. I don't particularly care about the desktop experiences. And I find whenever you're trying to do responsive across desktop and mobile, it's never quite right. You always get some sort of weird measurement stuff. So I don't really, it's designed to be mobile front end first. If I do happen to get a mobile website out of this, I just don't care at all. It's not even a forethought. It's just, if I get there, I get there. If I don't, who cares? It just makes sense in a Maui app, for all the other reasons that I'm doing, you know, hybrid.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, different use cases. Like I'd imagine there would be some others out there that are, you know, in my boat too, where they might want to actually have things running everywhere.
And that I'm sure there is for sure. I guess I'm not out for the right once it's going to run everywhere successfully. I've been down that mm-hmm. path many times. Remember Java with the old cell phones?
Yeah. That's always the one that you go back to, right? Like what was NetBeans or there was Spring or there's all these different frameworks, right?
It was a tough, tough thing. We ended up just doing different screens for different phones. I mean, really.
Well, even like, you know, in the mono days, like there was an effort at one point to implement WinForms, right? And to mm-hmm. make it run on Mac and Linux and stuff. And like it you know, worked. You can run an app. And this is kind of the today now with like Avalonia's got their XPF thing, right? Or whatever. And some of those ideas just kind of remind me of that same thing too, where it's like, it's cool that I can use like, MS Build structured log viewer, for instance, or ILSpy has like an Avalonia client, right? So it's neat that I can use those things technically on Mac or on, you know, Linux or whatever, but they're not as good as the app, you know, where it was built to actually work on it by any stretch of the imagination.
I haven't actually seen one of them yet, to be honest, but I'm not surprised, right?
Yeah.
It's like Wine apps back in the Linux world. They just, something's not quite right about
these. It's not quite right. Yeah.
But I mean, if you don't care about the native look, then I guess they work. As long as they, I'm a big guy, function over fashion. I don't care about.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what I say. Like, I'd rather have that implementation of it than nothing.
Exactly. Right?
So, it's an interesting story. One of the things we touched on before, and I think we might've talked about it in a previous episode too, but you know, I often find there's still some confusion about what a Maui hybrid app means. And you kind of mentioned before, like you either want to run in WebAssembly or in a Maui app, right? But you know, those are two different things. And I don't know that everybody understands that concept either.
I can try to explain that. I mean, really, to me, there's not a heck of a lot of difference. Like, it's basically the WebAssembly mode inside of Maui. Like it's just, you're getting access to different, like if I'm injecting a service, so for instance, connectivity, right? Mm-hmm. WebAssembly doesn't have one of those that I know of. There's probably a third party. But obviously I can bring in the essentials workloads or any of the other services I have from the Maui dependency injection. So it's kind of like the WebAssembly, has access to all the Maui stuff. Right. So all the mobile services that you may need. Right. Whereas when we're running in WebAssembly, you have to write your own connectivity, but you're running in a browser. Right. So.
Yeah. And you're running like in the browser's, you know, WebAssembly engine. Right. So like the, you know, I think the big difference with Maui Blazor becomes that, yes, there's web content being displayed, but we're not actually running the .NET code within that web view,
right?
You know, within like the web assembly container of that web view, right? That we're not that far deep down. And one of the nice things that you get from that is for not doing it that way, I guess, is like you're saying, like I'm in the same process as the Maui app from a .NET perspective, and I can share, you know, the service provider, and that can go in all the different places. And it's not like we're not like marshaling stuff back and forth in the sense that we're, you know, going between kind of two .NET runtimes, so to speak.
Right? That's actually that was the distinction I missed. Yeah. Is that performance is there. Maybe that's why I don't see the long load times for pages too, because like I said, yeah. I see a blink and that's only in debug. Yeah,
your performance, you know, is limited to whatever a web view can actually like display. And that's just web view rendering though. At that point, there's nothing to do with like the actual .NET performance of things.
Right. It's just fast.
And we use the native web view controls on all the platforms that back that too, right? So like on which brings its own set of challenges and issues from time to time. But I think generally it works pretty well. And it's just, hey, we're WK web view on iOS and Catalyst and, you know, web view 2 or whatever the thing is called on Windows that's back, that use the same thing they use in Edge, right? So it's a really, really high performance way of doing it. And also like a little bit different from the whole, what's the thing that everybody uses for like web hybrid apps?
Oh, Electron, right? Yes.
Yeah. So that's a little different too, right? Cause they're running like, you know, the, I guess it's Node or whatever, and they're running that and then they're communicating over the bridge with that.
Yeah.
And
they are marshaling calls to the OS.
Yeah.
Now there was one interesting thing I wanted to go back to was you mentioned you using view models. Are you still trying to do view modeling, or are you going the traditional? Are you going the traditional route? I guess is the question.
What do you mean? What do you mean the traditional route?
Well, the Blazor isn't really big on view models per se. It doesn't have that separation. It's more of like a React. Mm-hmm. Have you written React? Probably not.
I mean. Seriously, okay. Written? No, toyed around with it years ago. Yeah,
it's a pretty neat web technology, but for the most part, it's the code. It's like we've gone back to the classic ASP days where the code is mixed in with the logic, right? Yep. So they don't have that separation. You can do it. They do have the concept of code behind. I don't personally know many people that actually do that anymore. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't do a ton of Blazor. This is kind of the first big actual thing that I've done with it, but.
Yeah. I mean, you can always, I feel like there was a way to articulate writing, you know, your code, more code behind with a Blazor or with a Razor page too. But mostly, yeah, it's like, you're going to write it inline. Maybe you abstract out some of the stuff into like another class or something. If it's getting too crazy in your Razor to have all your code there. I am still using view models mostly because that was kind of the most logical step for sharing code between Maui apps and a Blazor app for me anyway. I had it all written out. It was segmented by, you know, like page essentially, right? Like thing I want to navigate to. My view models aren't really that complex for the most part. But it was just, yeah, it was an easy way to keep my code organized. And like, I would say almost that I'm more of a mix in the sense that I'll have the view model injected into the Razor, but I might do a whole bunch of other crap in Razor that's like specific to that UI or how I kind of strung things together, right? I'm sure my code looks pretty ugly to anyone who's like really familiar with Blazor and Razor. So we'll get there one day. I feel like I've finally gotten to the point over the years where my XAML and my, you know, MVVM is okay. And somebody, you know, myself looking back now at the code, you know, as I did the migration was like, ooh, that's horrible. So I think I've done better at cleaning that up a bit, but I'm pretty sure I'm still like, you know, noob territory on Razor in that sense.
Well, and that's the funny thing too, is that, so I do all my code in the Razor page right now. But if I'm doing things properly, like you can call things like shell, if you've got to do like a native navigation,
yeah,
you can call shell right there and navigate to a native page. Now I have a navigation service because I generally use Prism for most things. So I have a navigation service there, but if I'm going to stay within the Maui pages, within the Blazor pages, I can still use links, right, to kind of bounce around.
Yeah.
So I'll use links where I can. And as soon as I need to hop out of that module or go to a different tab or somehow interact with the native platform, I can still call back into Shell or to Prism and say, navigate here, do the thing in native.
So, yeah. No, that's interesting because like I think that's one area that I haven't given as much thought to yet either. If I was going to try and do more sharing with the MAUI app is, you know, I very specifically factored out my navigation service on MAUI, and I factored it out, you know, on the Blazor. And so I have two separate navigation service implementations, and I don't know how it would necessarily blend those two. I mean, it probably wouldn't be that bad.
Two implementations isn't bad, but two interfaces might be.
No. I have two implementations. Yeah. It's not, but as if I was going to go like, okay, replace my, I have a page in the app that's like for the pool settings, right? So you have you describe your pool. You might have multiple pools. Most people have one. And then I say, okay, here's the name of my pool, you know, the size of it, the chemistry I use. Do I want reminders for things? All the different, like there's, it's a long page. It's a long form of a whole bunch of different value fields and stuff, right? And so that one's always been kind of a pain. And that was the one that got me thinking like, oh, maybe if I have to do this in Blazor anyway, I don't go there that often as a user of the app. Like this is a good candidate to bring in and share. And I guess if I was going to do that, I wouldn't really need to change my navigation in the app. I would just be making my XAML page would then load that, you know, shared component, Razor component, be specific, on the page, and everything else would just kind of work the same. Things would get injected and probably would just work. Maybe it'd be all right.
But see, that it's the point is you can do all that, right? You can do all this cross-sharing. You can do it in WebAssembly. You could do it in MAUI, the hybrid. What is it? We call it Blazor hybrid or MAUI hybrid?
MAUI Blazor hybrid, I think, is the term.
David Poopy. No, that's not what it's called. Where'd you get that term?
Yeah.
You're supposed to know these things, John.
I'm merely an engineer.
You're not the marketing naming guy.
I think I have freedom. I've licensed to get all those things wrong, and hopefully David corrects them for me if I make a big enough mistake.
That makes sense.
This is why I don't talk to all sorts of people out in public about it, as I probably would.
Because you'll get the wrong naming. As I'm getting the wrong naming. I don't even know.
Yeah.
Blazor hybrid. That's what I've been calling Blazor hybrid. Sounds right. MAUI Blazor hybrid. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we could have solved this just by a quick, search.
I could have, but I've got a clicky keyboard. That would be too easy. And everybody hears it.
I do too.
I still have a cold back from Florida that doesn't go away. So I'm trying to just be quiet and not hack into the mic.
Well, keyboard might sound better than the loud kids in the house, but it is .NET MAUI Blazor hybrid. That is, I think, one of the things I see in the docs.
Okay. So. That's too many syllables for me. I'm not even going to try. All right.
So we talked about a bunch of things with it. Are we missing anything?
No, I think that's pretty good. I mean, like I said, the big reason that I've chosen, and I think people should still look at MAUI overall, is that I don't want to call it an escape plan, but that is what I call it in business sense. If there is a place where the technology is either not serving me or I need a workaround or whatever, there are routes I can take, right? I can still go this nice Blazor route. Another big sell for the business is that it is Razor. So there's a lot of older people in the industry that have gray hairs like John and I that have done MVC. And all of a sudden this makes them mobile UI developers in a lot of cases because they can come in here and do it. They don't have to know how connectivity works. They just listen to that event. Unhook it when you're done at the page, right? And all of a sudden these guys can start doing beautiful UIs, and I don't need to teach them about, here's a label. This is XAML. This is binding. You now have access to new resources that you might not have before. Now the same can be said about, if you want to do something in Ionic, which is React. And I think they have like an Angular version. I don't know. Right. But if you've got like an old community and a lot of old .NET developers, all of a sudden that pool of resources is open to you again, right? You can start using Razor and start writing UI. and they can have access to services that I don't know how it works. I don't know these mobile precursors that I need to follow. Just somebody code that service for me and I'll make it pretty. It's a great, from a business perspective, that's interesting, especially for .NET shops that are out there. And from a business perspective where, you know, like I said, collection view, or you run into a MAUI bug, 90% of the time you can work around it. Whether people believe that or not, it is true. I've done it. But you do have other routes in MAUI, which you might not have on other platforms. So in this case, that whole Blazor situation opens up a new hiring market. It opens up an escape route for rendering technology, and it opens up opportunities for these old folks to get involved and write UI where they might have been doing MVC for years. MVC's still out there. There's still tons of people doing MVC. And classic net.
Classic.
So all of a sudden they can.
I thought you were going to say classic ASP, like, you know, the ASP 3 days or whatever.
Thankfully, I haven't seen one of them in a long time. The oldest thing I've seen in the last couple months was a web forms.
That was my jam. Like, what was it? Like the content update panel or something like that.
Content update panel.
I don't know. There was some update panel thing that you would use in web forms. It was like
Ajax-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I worked on an open source project called Anthem with some people, and that was popular. And then Microsoft came in and did their thing, and it was hacks on top of hacks. It was a beautiful time to be a dev, though.
Yeah, it really was. It was magical when, like, you could do something that didn't make the whole page reload, right?
Yeah, it was quite a time. Other than that view state stuff, man.
That was ugly.
It was a great time. That's why I love development, right? There's so many ways to approach a problem, and it hasn't changed. There's just so many ways to go about it.
Well, and this is what, like, you know, what you're saying about leveraging skills and stuff and using them to be in a new space, right? Like, this is, again, I think I mentioned it before, I've got a friend that built an app, you know, web app, and they have a few different kind of facets to it. I think, like, there's the desktop interface for people who are working it more, and then there's more like the mobile compatible front end for people that are interacting with it. And they started fully on Blazor. And the thing that I liked about this approach with them is they started on Blazor. You know, people can go on the website on their phone and get to it and use it. And then they said, okay, we want to be in the app stores as well. And for one reason, if you want to have your thing findable, like, the app store is a really good way to do that, even if it's a free app. And you have to be careful. I think you mentioned, you know, you can't just wrap your website up and offer nothing outside of the site.
No, Apple doesn't like that anymore.
Exactly.
They used to be okay with it. Not anymore.
Right.
They will reject you.
You have to add new things to it. But, like, one of the reasons that they wanted to go there as well was to start adding things in, like push notifications and, you know, geolocation. And like, yes, you can do some of that with web APIs, but it just is nicer in a real app. And the app store is a great place to find the app, and users generally trust that, you know, if I find Acme company app, that's going to be the one, as opposed to, like, site, you know, bookmarking some website on your home screen kind of thing. So it really opens up the door, even if all they did was stick a Blazor web view in the app, and that's what they started with. It does open the door to start doing things, like you said, pull in some services that you didn't have access to before that might do some interesting native things, right?
Yep.
And so it's kind of an easy stepping stone into that world.
And I'm still wary. Like, Apple still does things. Like, they killed Silverlight, which was a fantastic thing when it came out. I don't know about you, but Silverlight was really exciting. The potential it had was great, and Apple killed it. Now, not intentionally, I don't think. It's just the way the browsers worked. That's fine. But they were very recently trying to make sure that those web apps couldn't run on the home screen, right? They were trying to kill that. I don't know why. Obviously, from a business perspective, having the app store be the place to go and get these things is a big deal. But it's like...
Well, I think it's also platform. So, like, I remember many years ago now when I had just... I think I was working with Xamarin already. I went to do a talk in Detroit at some mobile conference kind of thing. And while I was there, I was talking to one of the other presenters who was talking about, I think, Cordova, or what was it called before that?
Cordova. And
you know, they were kind of giving me a hard time. They're like, no. Within like a couple years, every app is going to be just written in HTML and JavaScript because like Apple is, you know, making this work. You can add stuff to your home screen now. You can do all this. And I'm like, no, listen, Apple doesn't want every app to be HTML JavaScript because that's not going to help them differentiate their platform from Google and other platforms, right? So I think a lot of it is still to do with that. Even if you have a web content, you know, web app kind of as your rendering thing in the App Store, they still want you on their platform specifically, and they want to try and get you to leverage more of the things that, you know, they have API-wise and feature-wise on a phone, because they're going to try and have their users, like, you know, ask, if I use an app heavily and Apple comes up with this new thing, like, why doesn't your app support that? I want to use that on my phone. I want this feature.
Right.
So the more they can make themselves, you know, differentiated from those other platforms, it's better for their own interests. So, you know, here we are probably 10 years later from that conversation I had where, you know, they were just telling me, you're absolutely wrong. The whole world, people aren't going to be building native apps ever, you know, in a few years from now. It's all going away. And we're still building native apps.
You know what the problem there is too, is that coming from a web world, like I wrote so many web apps when I was fresh out of school and stuff, mm-hmm. is that the W3C moves slow on everything. There's still, I've wanted to do like a Bluetooth Blazer, Uno, whatever kind of web-centric service for Bluetooth. And years later, they still haven't finalized it. Still, it's been like 4 years going. And it's like, guys, I just want Bluetooth to work on the browser.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to enable some sort of hybrid or you know,
yeah.
service.
Dear user, go in your settings and check this experimental flag.
Yeah, so exactly.
That the thing can work.
4 years, though. It's web components. I don't know. There's a lot of you web people out there. Do you know how long I've heard about web components? So for all you kids that are out there, you're like, yeah, I've been doing this in React for years. Okay, web components was a spec back cripes in like 2004. I remember it because we were all like, this would be great, right? No.
Yeah.
Still, there's still not web components in the browser, right? Like it's still, everything's still these friggin' divs until you know, 1800 layers deep. So, you know, that's the other big thing. Apple doesn't have to wait. Android doesn't have to wait. And yes, Windows doesn't have to wait either. Just write the APIs. You know, this is why native exists and competition exists. And as much as I'd love, I'll be honest, as much as I love the native platforms, I would love to see web win. It's not going to. It's too open. There's no competition to improve.
I think that sums it up well. It's too open. Like private companies don't want it. It's too open.
Well, and like it's for them to take this long to standardize things because that's what's happening. I mean, heck, you think you work in red tape and I work in red tape? There's got to be more because all the conglomerates are in there with their fingers, including Microsoft, including Google, and nobody can decide.
No comment.
So all right, that's the thing.
So this week, I think you mentioned that you're using a library, and I've used this one as well. So our plugin, package, and product of the week?
I got two. I wanted to bring two of them up because they're two that I played with, and they're both fantastic. They're both open source. They both have support options if you want to buy an enterprise license. So the first one is Mudblazer. I used it. Beautiful material spec, has all these wonderful controls that just work.
Yes.
The second is called Radzen. My apologies if I didn't pronounce that right. They have even more controls. Like they are just, I don't know. I think they
have a ton.
70 or 80 controls, and they're fantastic. Too. They've like every control I could think of was there. So great control packages to check out.
Mudblazer too, because it gave me, like, it made me feel more at home as a XAML kind of comfortable developer, right? Because like they give you like the tags, the pre-built things, right? It's like a mud button, and that has like all the things of a material button that you want. I really liked it. I felt it was really easy to kind of transfer my skills writing XAML and understanding UI in that way into an area that I'm you know, I used to do web dev a long time ago more, but I don't anymore, and I'm not that comfortable with it. Well, like, don't make me write a bunch of CSS and stuff, please.
Well, that's the other thing. This Radzen does that really well as well. It's all bound. I'm probably not doing that justice. It's all properties that are set. I don't have to do a ton of CSS, but I can.
Yeah,
that's the point. If I need to, I still can.
If you need to get in there, you do it. Awesome. Well, we'll have some show links to those packages. Really, both of them are great. And you know, if you have suggestions for other package plugins or products, let us know. Drop us a line, gonmobile.io, and leave us some reviews on the Apple Podcasts, if you will, if you like it. Good reviews, please. That would be great. Helps us.
Helps us
get the word out.
John keeps telling me I need to talk closer to my mic. Apparently, that's
right.
No more true than right this second.
Exactly. Yeah, well, so, and Alan's going to go write a good review for our podcast after we're done here, I think.
I am? Am I going to?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's no shame in plugging your own content, standing up your own ratings. That's fine.
All right.
You get one shot at it.
I can do that.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for this week. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time on Gone Mobile.